Everybody, and at last, after about three, God knows how long it's been now, 3 weeks or so, we're back. We had a massive technical issue. We recorded one of these about 10 days ago, and none of us really know what went wrong, but it went wrong, and we couldn't save it. So we're here now. We'd like to come here a bit earlier, but we couldn't get us all together. And even today, Stu, we can't get us all together, can we?
We can't. No, there's a rather large gaping hole.
Yeah.
Of someone who normally
a wanker-shaped hole, is it?
It's a loney-shaped hole.
It's a loney-shaped hole.
Yes.
Martin has made the miraculous recovery, and he's here.
Yeah, well done.
You are here?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Yeah. I'm at your disposal.
But basically, there is an loney-shaped hole.
Yeah. And it's some the first sort of time without her, isn't it, I think?
Second. One last year where we got the Chrissy Clark
That's
came in.
True, yeah.
And there's some sort of vicious rumour that it is her birthday.
Yeah, I know, yeah. And she doesn't tell us her age, does she?
I know her age. But
yeah, I think I can vaguely work it out by working
backwards.
I genuinely
know her age. And I don't know if it's like, you know, the sort of day when your mum and dad let you have a day off school when it's your birthday and whether that's her reason for not. But obviously, it is her birthday. So, Alona, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Alona.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
By the time she hears this, it'll be too late anyway.
Doesn't matter. We've said it, and we've all put rude things on Facebook. So I hope you have a lovely day. Hope you have a nice. Hope you've been sport rotten, and we'll see you next time.
On the plus side for our listeners, for it being her birthday and her not being here, she won't have to go on about her trip to Paris, will she?
And God, I mean, God, are we ever tired of hearing about that?
Paris.
Oh, my Lord.
Another trip to Chanel.
Yeah, I know, honestly. Christ almighty, yeah, you dodged a bullet there, listeners, because on the recording we did, which we completely buggered up, she did go on rather a bit about hotels and shoes and jackets.
Chauffeurs.
She loved
chauffeurs.
It.
Chauffeurs, yeah.
She loved it. She was going back again, so it'll recur.
Righto.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to get rid of that. Anyway, it's very nice to be back. I haven't been around for about a month. Probably 6 weeks since the last time we put one of these out.
So where are you being,
Speg? Well, I went with the current Mrs. Velasco.
Yes.
Although, actually, she's not even that because she kept her maiden name. We went interrailing. So we went to seven countries, I think. Started out in the south of France, Italy, Switzerland, Austria, Hungary, Germany and the Netherlands. Very nice. Really nice. We went to the south of France to start with, down to Antibes, because we thought it would be nice to have a bit of time on
nice
the beach,
there.
You know,
nice
somewhere nice and hot on the beach. Look at some of the big boats that Stuart told us about. And it was brilliant. We were away for 4 weeks traveling all over Europe by train, but I'm not going to bang on about it, but I will say if ever you did it, try to do the beach bit in the middle of the whole trip,
okay,
which is quite difficult because of course all the beaches are in Southern Europe. And most of the cities you want to see are in Northern Europe, unless you go to Italy or Spain, and then you're in a peninsula, so you get a bit stuck down there. Because otherwise you find yourself for 3.5 weeks going to museums and galleries every day. I don't have an issue with going to museums and galleries every day, but you can get a bit galleried out, and you think you're not really, appreciating the exhibits as much as you might
do. European beauty.
Yeah.
I love the idea of that, Spag, and I'm going to do it.
You are.
I did it when I was younger, and obviously you can now do it when you're old gits like us. So
yeah,
it
sounds right.
Because I love trains, and, you know, having a month away just bouncing from train to train, location to location, for me, that's like blooming excellent. Love
it. I would absolutely recommend it to anyone. So not possibly to you, Stuart, because it's not they don't have business class.
Well, that's an absolute non-starter.
The first class isn't really much different to second class. And we did go first class.
You want to try the trains in India.
I've been
that is proper cattle class.
Yeah, and I did that in 35 years ago as well.
Done it quite recently.
They still had steam trains then.
Honestly, it's brilliant. Trains in India, they're lovely. You get your tea brought to you. They'll bring you your paper. They will bring you all of your snacks. It's better than blooming English trains. I mean, it is a crap hole on the carriages, but it's a great experience.
Do they have... sorry, listeners, we'll get off trains in a bit. Do they have computerised booking systems over there now?
Everything. They are far and away much better at technology than we are.
Yes.
And I was in India on my phone, on a train, booking my next hotel stays.
Oh, right.
All
okay.
online. Yeah. They are right up there. It's
because
super.
When I was in India 35 years ago, it was so far behind, you couldn't even go. Like, if you went to a train station over here, you go to a ticket machine and your ticket would pop out. Mm-hmm. Over there, you had to queue up in a massive queue and then speak to a bloke who had a book with carbon paper in it and doing everything in triplicate.
That's how it used to be, but it's now completely the reverse. You go to a street vendor and buy some 20p snack, you will pay for it by putting your phone against the QR code and he will collect your payment electronically.
Excellent.
That's how advanced they are.
Crikey, that's
brilliant.
Really changed,
isn't
it?
Great.
I suppose it helps, doesn't it, having that their railways are still state-owned, aren't they? So, you know, one computer system does the whole thing. Anyway, we're going to get off of this, aren't we?
Hugely important. Celebrity who snuffed it.
Blimey.
Oh,
obviously,
crikey,
you know, we've not been here for a couple of weeks, so obviously we've got a longer list than was previously mentioned. So basically who's died in the last few weeks. So obviously the major name on the list was the very sad death of Diane Keaton.
Yeah, that was really sad, wasn't
a shock.
It?
Shock. She was young.
I was so shocked because not only was she about 74,
yeah,
wasn't she?
She's mid-70s.
But she was on Graham Norton a couple of years ago and she looked about 55, 60, and was really just had so much energy.
She was a massive style icon to loads of sort of women, wasn't she? Who wanted to look
I think
like
so,
that. She loved her, absolutely loved her. So,
she was attractive and sort of wearing a trouser suit, and you know, she was just great, I thought. Really
good. So, I'm aware of her and her name, but I don't know anything about her. What was she in?
She was in Annie Hall, Manhattan.
Okay.
Lots of collaborations with Woody Allen.
Oh, now, okay. That's the connection then, isn't it?
And most famously, she's in The Godfather.
Yeah. Was she?
Yeah,
I love The Godfather.
She's Michael Corleone's wife in The Godfather.
That's right.
Two Godfathers.
Was she?
First three Godfathers.
No, I'm getting them mixed up with somebody else. No, I'm not totally, but I was just going to say, was she in whatever? But I've realised that she wasn't in that.
And then
she
was in loads of things with Jane Fonda towards the end, wasn't she? Sort of book club and all that sort of.
She was great. I bet she had loads of friends in Hollywood, but it's really sad. They haven't said how she died.
No, it's not really actually come out, but 74 these days is no age at all, so that's terrible.
No.
So and really sad last week, a national treasure, not so much around the world, Prunella Scales.
She was wonderful.
Yeah, she was really good, wasn't she?
Oh, my God,
I love the fact that, you know, because she was suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia, wasn't she? And I love the fact that her son said the night before she died she was watching Fawlty Towers.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, she was watching Fawlty Towers.
Right.
And just,
I saw something about her and they said that she sort of bemoaned it a little bit, saying, I've done all this, you know, repertory work and I've done all these really famous actors and actresses. She said, but I am.
She's Basil, isn't she?
I'm Basil's wife. And that's basically what I am to so many people.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty and the downside of being typecast, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, she was Sybil Fawlty.
But wasn't it wonderful that they did the canal boat series
as she
was becoming progressively more demented, as it were. And I thought it was brave. I thought the programme itself was absolutely fantastic.
Well, of course, the three of us, we love canal boats.
Well, we do.
We used to do it.
We used to do it regularly, didn't we, every Easter.
So that was said. And Jilly Cooper. Author.
Oh, no, yeah.
Author.
Yeah.
Bonkbuster.
Absolutely. Yeah. Miss Bonkbuster herself. She died.
Yeah. Friend of the star. She was probably quite a good friend of Prince Andrew. More about him later.
I should think so, yeah.
I should think she probably was.
Yeah, I think she was in that. I'm pretty sure she was friends with the Queen, formerly known as Camilla Barker Bowles.
She was, yes.
Yeah.
She was very
you can imagine that they
very chummy, those
all got
two,
on rather
walking
well.
Around the gardens together.
All the royals are now formerly known as.
Well, not all of them, but again, we'll come to that later.
Yeah, we'll get on to that later.
And, you know, very, very sad, Ricky Hatton.
God, that was
so
really
sad,
wasn't it?
So sad.
What a sad waste, isn't it?
What a waste.
Yeah. Happens to a lot of top sportsmen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Never happened to you, though, Stuart.
quite get to those levels to feel quite so bad. Trust me, it was pretty bad when it ended, but nowhere near that bad. But that was really, really sad. And because we're that current on Homer Potts Happy Hour, we are so current that basically former US Vice President Dick Cheney.
I know, Martin. I was just doing a sound
test. He died about an hour ago.
Yeah, an hour ago. And Martin said Dick Cheney. We were trying to work out which George Bush. It was George H.W. Bush.
Yes,
he was the second one, wasn't he? Yeah, he was Vice President during the first Gulf War, wasn't he?
And
I believe.
He was in, yes, and he was there, of course, at 9/11.
Yeah. No, I think it's the other way around. He was Secretary of State to the father, H.W. Bush.
That's right, Vice President.
When younger Bush became president, he was the vice president.
You are correct. Mr. McCarthy, you are correct.
That was right.
You are correct. And of course...
He's not... I just should say that he's not an expert on Dick Cheney. He's literally just read it 20
that's
minutes
right.
ago.
I wouldn't have known any of that at all.
On the other hand, I did know who he was. And, of course, a very big Republican and big critic of Donald.
Yeah.
So for that, he has to be applauded.
Really? He doesn't like Donald.
Yeah. His wife has been really...
Daughter.
I'm doing well here, aren't I? His daughter...
You're cooking with gas. Today
has been really, really vociferous.
What do they call them?
Really?
Rhinos.
Yeah.
They call them, don't they? Republican in name only.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that clever?
Yeah, no, she's an even bigger anti-Trump person. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the celebrity snuffed it list.
Yeah, quite a lot.
Quite a lot, but that's what happens when you go away
Shame
for a few weeks.
Bruno, goes, but a great long life.
93. And, yeah, 93 is a fantastic innings.
Yeah. And she seemed to just... Her dementia just seemed to make her almost more pleasant, didn't it? That she sort of knew what was going on. And it was like she went through a world of...
A very pleasant form of it, I think. I think there can be quite distressing forms of it, but she didn't seem to have that.
Almost went childlike, I thought.
A little bit, I suppose.
You know.
Yeah, that's right.
It was almost in the Canal Journey programmes, really happy when Tim came back to the boat. And it was almost like as if she was looking at him saying, oh, Dad's turned up again.
She was very thankful and grateful. And she was forever leaning over to her husband, forget his name.
Timothy West.
That's right.
Timothy
and West. Kissing him and saying thank you. And like, how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
Come on. That's
great. Well, the current Mrs. Velasco does that all the time, I'm sure.
As you can imagine.
Just turns around, just looks at you beautifully, gazing into your eyes and thinks, I'm so glad I met you.
I often say to people, if you ever met my wife, she's by far and away the rudest person in the world.
Well, you can say that because you're 100% certain she won't be listening to this.
Oh, it's going well. Yeah.
It's 100% guarantee you are safe without getting a forearm jab when you walk through the door.
I heard that. So there we are. So
it's now time for Martin's favourite, like, not like.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, yes.
So, and of course, there's only three of us, so we should read through this quicker. Right?
Yeah, I'll let Martin go first if you're ready
for it. And remind me, do we like first or do we not like?
I think it's called like, don't like, so that gives you a hint.
Okay, so my like is, after all my slagging off of procedures and inflated lips and Brazilian butt lifts, right, my like is the procedure that I had about a week ago. I was in the barber's and he offered to wax my nose.
I'm so glad he said nose. I was thinking this is going to levels that not even we've sunk to.
And ears, right?
Right.
And I'd never had this done before. I mean, it's the same principle as getting your legs waxed, okay? And so I agree.
This waxed nose, is this just up the nostrils?
Yeah, up the schnozzer.
Or not the whole thing.
No.
I was going to say, there's not enough wax in the world for that, is there?
Up the schnozzer. The inside of wax for yours.
And so literally he warms up the wax and he gets a cotton bud and he shoves it up your nose so that your inside of your nose is all coated with wax. He does that both sides and does the same on your ears. Waits about 3 minutes and verily rips it out of each orifice.
It's like one pull, is it?
That's
a bit like getting a plaster off.
And it's a bit painful. Okay.
One tug and it's all gone, Stuart.
Is amazing because it's, again, same principle as having your legs waxed. It pulls out the hair and the roots, and so my fulsome growth in my ears no longer occurs, and that'll be the case for about two or 3 months
before I then go and get it done again. I have had same procedure. Yes. I had it in Cape Town a few years ago, and it is very painful. But V satisfying.
It's very good.
Very satisfying once you've had it.
I might give it a whirl. It's
worth a go.
Do you think you'd have to pay for extra wax?
Mine was £6. Spanks would be about a tenner.
I'm afraid you're 12.
£6.
I'm afraid you're £12, sir.
But I suddenly felt that I could breathe more easily through my nose.
It is nice.
That's how good it is. So fully recommend. That's my like.
Good.
Good. My like. Yeah, do you know what? I was, they had the massive theft from the Louvre in France.
Yes.
And they said, the police said, we think it's been done by a criminal mastermind. It's been stolen to order. And we're working on the situation at the moment. Yeah. And it turns out they're just a bunch of petty criminals, aren't they?
That's right.
Who literally got some sort of ladder, which was connected to a vehicle, put it up against the wall and climbed over. Mm. But apparently the manufacturer of the ladder, it's a German company, they're doing brilliantly. Everyone's now making inquiries because this ladder's fantastic, because it came in, walloped straight up. These sort of burglars went over the top and nicked about 80 million quid.
I know, that's right.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
It's so amateurish. You really want to see the footage where they've actually got little sort of masks on and a swag bag.
Yeah, I just love the fact that they weren't big-time criminals. Yeah. And the first thing the police and security at the Louvre said, oh, you know, these must be criminal masterminds. No, I think not, no.
They've got Inspector Clouseau on the job, so it'll all get sorted out.
So I did particularly like that. I enjoyed that. And yeah, not that I don't condone it. I have to say, I don't condone it. And they are actually apparently being caught one after the other, aren't they? Because they are that useless. Right. And they've left DNA all over the place. And,
yeah.
You know, almost smiling and doing selfies with the security cameras. But I just quite like the fact that they had the gumption to nick the all that jewellery and gold and stuff.
I just wonder whether they'll ever get those jewels back, because, I mean, these guys would have melted it down, taken the individual jewels, which would have made it a fraction of its actual value, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because they were worth in the tens
the scrap
of
value of the gold
would have been compared to its actual.
Because, yeah. I mean, how do you? Unless you are a criminal mastermind who's got tentacles all over the world, your average Parisian thief, how would they know how to fence this stuff?
Sure.
You wouldn't have a clue, would you? Who you'd actually find?
Take it down the local flea market.
Yeah, you couldn't do that, could you? They've got lots of those in Paris
I've got some gold bullion here. Anyone like to buy it? I've got priceless rings. Anyone fancy it?
I know, yeah, but I particularly enjoyed that. So, Stuart, have you got anything?
I liked the fact that a few weeks ago, myself and Mrs. Simmons, we cleared out our offices. And
your what?
Offices.
Oh, offices.
Offices. No wax involved.
Not for that.
He can do it second eye. Yeah, no wax involved. We cleaned out our offices and we got more unused paper than you could throw a stick at.
Right.
I think it was 12 big bin liners full of useless paper.
And at this moment, you're going to tell me you recycled it, aren't you?
I'm going to tell you nothing of the sort, my son.
Oh.
So basically went out, bought myself a nice steel dustbin and just burnt it all.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Absolutely.
You had a massive bonfire.
Huge bonfire, which is just one of the most, especially this time of year, one of the most satisfying things you could possibly do.
Mm.
Just burning everything, just lovely.
I suppose there is an argument to saying you offset it because you would have lit your log burner that night.
Well, possibly.
And you didn't. And that's offsetting, isn't it, Stuart?
Mm-hmm. So, offsetting. And that is upsetting.
Now you've just got to start offsetting some of your flights. Not sure how that's going to happen, but...
Yes, I'll get over it. And and the fact that, you know, you can think, you know, all your lovely little history, any email is up there somewhere in the cyber world.
Bonfires
it's up there in the cyber world. There's no coming back from this. It's burnt to fucking smithers. You won't be seeing that again.
Yeah. Lovely. Did you manage to get rid of a lot of your sort of stuff that you ought to shred?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you think, I mean, you look at the cost of actually either getting it. We did look at getting it shredded professionally. That cost an absolute fortune. I think,
Oh, there was such a thing, did you, Martin?
Fuck the environment. I'm not paying that.
A professional shredder.
I've got some matches that can do a job here.
And a can of petrol.
No petrol needed, son.
Excellent. And it's because, of course, lighting a bonfire in your back garden in the 1970s was one of life's greatest pleasures.
Greatest pleasures, yeah.
Thunderbirds. Bonfire in your back garden. Those are the two things in the 70s.
After Sunday
kids
lunch.
These days,
after
not
Sunday
interested.
Lunch.
That's right, yeah.
Church.
Yeah.
Church, Thunderbirds, Sunday lunch, fire.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Kids aren't interested in bonfires these days. Mm. They quite like burning down warehouses and things like that.
Yeah.
The
but
youth
I think,
of today.
I think just having a bonfire and poking it with a stick and stuff like that. And especially, you remember when you used to light like an Airfix and watch it go down? As if it was, attacking a panzer division in Tobruk. That was really good fun.
There's a village near me in Surrey which traditionally has a massive bonfire every bonfire night, okay? And they build it weeks in advance. Some little cock about 3 days before bonfire night went and set light to it, burnt it down.
No.
There was a lot of middle-class indignancy.
I bet they were going mad.
They were livid.
The old parish magazine's going to be going mad.
But they're right into the Thames. Sir! Right, so that's the
like.
Now we're having to go Victor Meldrew like into our don't likes.
Very good. We love the don't likes. Right, I hate vets, okay? I had occasion to go and visit a vet about a week ago with my mum's elderly husky Lola. She's 12. She's a bit rickety on her legs and we're a bit worried about her. So took her to the vet. He looked at her for about 5 minutes, prescribed her 2 weeks of anti-inflammatories and charged us £140 for that and said, come and see me in 2 weeks' time, which we did. They'd improved things a little bit, but so all we wanted him to do was prescribe us anti-inflammatories for a longer period of time.
Anti-inflammatories, okay? They wouldn't be very different from ibuprofen, would they?
No, but that you cannot give. I've looked into this, right? Because we would do this if it was possible, right?
The T-shirt.
You can't really give dogs human ibuprofen for whatever reason. They can't process it in
I
the same way.
I used to work with somebody who used to. Her dog had terrible teeth, little dog, and she used to give it Calpol from a spoon.
What?
Yeah, he's dead.
Don't do that, kids.
I have to say, he is dead.
He's dead, and she's doing 15 years for pet pants.
But I'm not entirely sure.
That's a great idea.
But to finish the story, right, so we go back 2 weeks later, and all we want him to do is prescribe us anti-inflams for a longer period. And he says, well, I can do that, but she will need a blood test. How much is that, Mr. Vet? That's £200 and needs to take place every 6 months. Then he starts ranting on about this dog will need an x-ray. In order to be x-rayed, this dog's going to need an anaesthetic. And in future, I think we need to be considering surgery. I mean, you know, it's just out of this world what he was suggesting as a treatment plan. And I said, right, hold back. Right, this dog is old. Yeah. This dog is old. And they're... And we're not even considering...
I've just had a message from the vet.
Yes.
About Rudy's teeth. Would you like to come in? Because we haven't seen you since Rudy's teeth. Because he needs to have them done. And it will cost this. And then he needs to have a blood test. And it will cost this.
Yeah.
And it will cost this. And I'm like, he's nearly 12.
Yeah.
And I've put my fingers around all his teeth.
Yeah.
And he doesn't squeal.
Yeah.
And of course, you're thinking, am I being absolutely mugged off here?
And this vet says to me, but I'm obliged to give you all the options. And I'm like, and I didn't say this to him, but I'm like, no, what you should be giving me is a proportionate opinion on a 12-year-old dog, not give me the maximum possible treatment that is possible. And I found it ridiculous. I was so angry. Yeah. We're not going back to this guy. He's an absolute idiot. And vets are now these days a big cartel. They're all owned by private equity firms and they're out to rinse.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They've bought up all the small local ones. So they look like local vets,
yeah,
but actually owned by massive conglomerates. All the prices have gone sky high and they're squeezing the orange till the pips burst.
Yeah, no, I
that's not a phrase, is
no,
it?
No, I was just going to say.
Well, that's uncanny because whilst I was out, just had a text from the vet and a message saying, we need to get you in because you need to look at Rip's teeth. And you're like,
rip off. Vets, don't go near them.
Me off.
In fact, in the latest Viz, there's a cartoon about vets like that and this bloke could they're trying to get this bloke to let them do an operation on the budgie. And he says, well, could you not just, you know, do the kindest thing? And he said, well, if you're short of money, sir, you could do it yourself. Just put it in your hand and just squeeze and squeeze until you hear the bones crack. And then he says to the bloke, can he vocalise? It would be terrible if he was begging for mercy. the long and the short is the bloke gets the operation done. And he says, good news, sir, good news. It was a success. He's still alive. And he'll live at least another 6 weeks. And then another bloke sticks his head out from the room and says, the bird's dead. It lost a bit in translation.
Down the news agent, buy visa, and you'll get it.
Birds, yeah. That's my not like. Spain. Yeah.
My not like, having been on trains, I spend a lot of time on trains. Obviously, I come down here on trains all the time and I use trains all the time. I use public transport an awful lot. And I hate people who put their bags on seats during busy times. And you know that they're willing to move the bag. And I do tend to, I have actually said to somebody, is your bag asleep or can I sit there? But they are leaving the bags there in the hope that people are too nervous to come and say, would you mind let me sit down there? And also, and even worse, when they don't move across on a two-seat thing, they sit on the outside and look big. and knowing that people don't want to climb over the top. And I just think it's indicative of our society, that is, Stuart. It really annoys me.
Poor show.
Yeah, poor show. I don't like that at all.
My Victor Meldrew bugbear is going to go towards Mid Sussex District Council.
Okay, good.
Who have changed the dates of the bin collection.
Uh-huh.
It's important stuff here, listeners.
This is bin maintenance, and it's damned important. Without telling anyone, there's nothing through. Oh. Got nothing through, and so when a kindly neighbour came through and she's going around telling everyone because there's quite a few elderly people in the road, and she said, when she phoned the council up, she said, "Well, where did you put everything?" She said, "Oh, we put it on Facebook." And he's like,
"Facebook's just ridiculous."
Well, see, that's a formal means of communication.
One. I have Facebook, but I barely go on it. I certainly don't follow Mid Sussex District Council on Facebook. And my next-door neighbour, they won't have Facebook. So how the hell are they going to know?
Mm. So it's definitely not in... Didn't go... That email didn't go the same way as your email from West Ham last season.
No emails. I checked my junk box regularly. I've checked my post regularly. There's nothing in the things. There was nothing on the bins last week. Damned. Damned.
He's
poor
livid.
Show.
That's another letter off to the Telegraph, isn't it? It's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. I'm just going to do a quick,
Oh, I'm not sure you get two.
Things I like.
Oh, and I'm not sure about this.
No, because we don't get enough things we like, do we? I went to a concert on Friday. This isn't all about the concert, but I went to a concert on Friday and it was in Shepherd's Bush and it was Halloween. And there were young people everywhere. They were all over the place. They were down the tubes. They were on the things. And what was so nice is that they were all in such good. They were just. There was nothing intimidating. It was, you know, young people get a bit of a bad name, don't they? You know, fucking youngsters and all that sort of thing. They were just all really enjoying themselves. Some bloke was chatting to me. He said to me, "Have you any idea what I'm dressed up as?" I said, "Yeah, you're Fred out of Scooby-Doo." And he went, oh, he's got it. He's got it. I told you lot didn't know it, but he's got it. And I said, "Well, I remember when it was first on the telly, you know." But, yeah, I thought it was quite nice to see thousands of what you might call, in inverted commas, young people behaving themselves, enjoying themselves, because the right-wing press particularly will have you think that the young people are just a disaster. Gen Z and Gen X are an absolute disaster and they're dragging the country down. And there are some absolute shits amongst them, but the vast majority of them were all very pleasant and very
Where
nice.
Was that gig in Shepherd's Bush?
At the Empire.
Is that Shepherd's that's what Empire. Used to be the BBC
that's right, yeah.
place? Right. So they used to do Wogan live from there back in the day.
They did.
And that place has got no soundproofing whatsoever. And all the ambulance crews used to know, because it was broadcast live, between 7 and 7:30, if you're on Shepherd's Bush, stick your siren on. And that's why you'd constantly hear sirens going off during Wogan.
Because really?
They wanted to get on to tele.
I saw Crackerjack recorded there in 1974. We were taken there with the school.
Worryingly, I saw Jim Will Fix It there.
Oh, blimey.
No, actually, now you're new to our programme, or newish.
Mm.
Did you ever write to Jimmy Savile?
Fortunately not.
Oh, see, oh, you mate, because we all did.
We did, yeah, yeah. We're not going to go through it again.
We'd all written back in the day.
I managed not to do that. I think I... Did I? No, I don't think so.
No, I did write to Jim Will Fix It back in the day.
Mm.
Yeah, so I saw... And the two bands I saw were Hello and the Bay City Rollers.
Really?
Yeah. Bay City Rollers did Bye Bye Baby on the day that I was watching Crackerjack
being recorded. On Jim Will Fix It, it was they had a band on. It was Sham 69.
Oh.
When the kids are united,
they will never be divided.
They were great players. I like Jimmy Percy.
They still play that at football.
But
I
don't think punks liked them, did they? I think they were seen as the top of the popsy type.
I see. Yes. Yeah, proper.
No,
not
proper punks, yeah. So anyway, yeah, so that was... I just thought I'd give a shout out to the Gen X and
the young people of this world.
And the millennials.
Oh, lovely.
And the millennials, because, yeah, they were all in really good spirits and everything like that.
Very good.
So, yeah, so there we are.
So there we're done for the first section.
Oh, are we? Oh, yeah, it's probably time we went for a break, isn't it? So we're going to go for a quick break and we will be back in a mo.
And we're back for the second segment of Homepod's Happy Hour with the quite mind-bogglingly huge news that's dominated everything for the last week or so, and that is the artist formerly known as Prince Andrew.
Hey! I wondered if we were going to talk about him. We normally don't have royal spots if Alona's not here, do we? But we can't leave
We can't
one.
Avoid...
I say royal spots. It's commoner spot, really, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, ex-royal spots. So, I mean, the most things, obviously, the two of us were in a curry house on Friday with a friend of ours on Thursday when the news was out, and it was just like real sort of earth-shattering.
It broke when we were there.
Broke when we were there. Yeah. So where were you when the big news came?
I can't recall. Because there were two stages to it. There was this manufactured statement which came out supposedly in Prince Andrew's name,
from
saying
him,
that
yes.
he is stepping aside because he's become a distraction. That clearly was not from him. And then there was the second announcement when they realised that that had by no means gone far enough, when he had all his titles and regal bits and bobs yeah. removed from him and no longer was a prince.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he would be leaving the 30-bedroom... Royal Lodge.
I did particularly enjoy the bit which said that Sarah Ferguson is going to have to sort out her own arrangements.
I mean, everything that's happened to Prince Andrew is long time coming, richly deserved, but they haven't gone far enough. Why is he being put up at the King's expense on the Sandringham estate? I have no idea. Why is he still being paid money by the King? Why is he going to get a payoff for leaving the house that he currently lives in? I mean, you know, this guy, who's now a commoner, apparently, like you and me, I think the next stage is he gets tried and goes to prison, which I think they should happen.
I think the big thing about this is that it's just opened up an enormous can of worms. And obviously they've looked at certain things. One is obviously part of an international sex ring. So that's one,
I think so.
That's
yeah.
one thing.
Yes.
And of course we're nowhere near finding out the tip of the iceberg for that. But the second thing, people are now looking, once they started doing some digging, and they're saying, how has this bloke got £8 million to pay in advance for this Royal Lodge 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So where the hell's that money come from?
Yeah.
And where the hell's this money come
Unless
from? And where the hell's that kind of from? And once they've started digging and once they've started looking into it, I think they've just opened Pandora's box.
Absolutely. Do you think he would have been, and I know there's a real fine line between whose money it actually is, but do you think he was left a load of money by the Queen?
No, he wasn't.
Was he not?
She hadn't died then when he paid that money off.
No, but I mean, she then died and she would have left a will, surely. And then he might have ended up getting a load of money.
Yes, I don't think he got a huge amount of money. He didn't get much from the Queen Mother.
Right.
But he paid this £8 million for Royal Lodge years and years ago when the Queen's still alive. So she hadn't died all to give a will or bequeathment. So there's got all this. Where's this extra money? I mean, obviously the things that's come out is that Andrew and Fergie were into Jeffrey Epstein for several million quid.
Yeah.
And the fact that he actually dumped them because they kept asking for money. I mean, I just think it's just, I mean, her book also is meant to be pretty harrowing reading.
Yeah, yeah. Alona's got that.
She's had
a birthday present.
I don't think it'll be the main birthday present.
No, probably not. No.
it'll be a supplementary one.
Yeah, but, I think Mr. Wake might get in a bit of trouble if that was
the
main
the only
present.
But I think he's just the gift that keeps on giving now, isn't he? Do you think they've done all this because they're thinking...
I think they're hoping this will bury it now.
There's more, yeah. But the trouble is everyone... I mean, I was watching Newsnight on Friday night after the announcement, and all the panellists were saying he has now to go to the FBI, clear his name, he has to sort this out.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, for the royal family's way, he can't.
No.
He just can't. Because every time he's gone any step further down the line, it's just made it worse.
Yeah.
He did the Newsnight thing, thinking, like, that'll bury it. No, it's made it a million times worse. He's then paid £12 million to someone he's never met before.
Yeah,
that'll
yeah.
finish it. No, it won't.
Yeah, that was a really good idea.
It's a million times worse.
Yeah.
Every time someone comes out, it just makes it worse.
I didn't see him
worse.
After this date. But there's emails here that say you did.
Yes, absolutely. Made it worse. I've never met this girl before in my life, apart from giving her £12 million, but I've actually got my protection officer to dig some dirt on her for a girl I've never met before.
Precisely.
Just gets worse and worse and worse every single step. So the fact that if he goes to the FBI, he'll just be open
dark. But do you think that actually Trump will say to the FBI, we're not having this case over here because something else will come out.
It won't happen.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. You know, you were saying, Martin, that that he needs to go to court and everything. Well, I suppose the thing is, all this happened not in this country, and all of the evidence is elsewhere, and the American government aren't going to want any of this evidence available.
But there's no way.
So it's going to be almost impossible.
There's no way on earth Prince Andrew or Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, he's going to...
Yeah, stop calling him Prince Andrew.
He's just not going to go to jail.
No.
They will fight they'll fight it, he will not. And he's still going to, you know, I mean, people just need to be realistic. They're not going to stick him on a council house off the M1. No. It's just not going to happen.
Because he'll write a book and just take the whole...
But there's a real school of thought that says that King Charles needs to keep Fergie sweet.
Yeah.
Because she will... All she's got left now is to write a book.
Yeah.
And she probably knows where quite a lot of bodies are buried. So they need to
I mean, there's a really... It's interesting, isn't it, that he's going to live on the Sandringham estate, which is the king's private estate, and he's going to be... It's all going to be paid for out of the king's private money. It's a real fine line between what's private and what isn't with the royal family, isn't it? Because, you know, it's like he probably... Is this all to do with his... Duchy of Cornwall stuff, I suppose. He gets private money in from that, doesn't he, and everything like that. But it's not really private, is it? Because all that land was either stolen or given to him.
I don't know whether he'll have private security or whether he'll be able to go anywhere. I mean, he's obviously...
If he's stuck in his house, he won't need it, will he?
Yeah, exactly. He won't do anything.
CCTV would do, I think, for him
golf,
now.
Golf clubs won't take him. No one will take him. No horses. He's, you know, he's going to sit there. I mean, if, you know, really secluded, I'm sorry, Andrew, you can't have Sky. But I can't. It's just, it's not... He's still going to live in a very nice house.
Yeah, apparently that's what he's done for the last 6 years, isn't he? He's sat on a sofa watching TV.
Yeah, he's playing computer games.
And playing computer games, that's right. I mean, this very much signals the end of the royal family. I'm not saying it will happen soon, but I think it will happen at some point in the future, maybe years, decades, or whatever it's going to be.
I think it'll be more than decades.
Well, it might be, but this family will not survive. I mean, they've been chameleon-like in the way that they have changed their names from their Germanic sounding. I mean, Mountbatten comes from Battenberg, which was their much more Germanic sounding name, and they anglicised it.
Yeah.
And
that was Prince Philip's surname, wasn't it?
He
was a Mountbatten.
And
a
before
Battenberg.
They were Windsor, they were something like
Saxe-Coburg. Goethe or something.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so they dispensed with that German sounding name, German because it was German.
Yeah. Well, that was done during World War I, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think this family deserves to survive. The way that, you know, they act in public, not all of them, but as Andrew's behaviour exemplifies, they don't deserve...
I think they're trying to, whether you're a royalist or not, I think they're trying to minimise the damage, but it just keeps getting worse and worse week by week.
It really does.
And it's just amplifying the stuff up. And of course, like a load of stuff, people will just follow the money.
Yeah.
Follow the money trail. Yeah. And
I'll tell you who wouldn't, though. I don't think Harry or Meghan would follow the money.
No, I don't think this is a slight warning for them in the slightest.
I know.
They must be rubbing their hands with glee, going, look at these cocks.
Thinking, the moment William comes in, we can kiss goodbye to the Duke and Duchess of whatever we're going to be doing, because they'll be gone.
Yeah.
So, it's been a monumentous week. Tell you what, also was a monumentous week.
Oh, go on then.
I went to see Thunderbirds.
Absolutely brilliant.
The cinema.
I saw it at the cinema.
Oh, get in. Which one was it?
Two classic episodes. I was a bit disappointed there was no like prelude, no speeches, no sort of little films about just how enormous it was back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And the effect it was literally like going to cinema, one episode. 30 seconds, second episode, go home.
Yeah, they could have had someone like Gerry Anderson's son
doing a spin.
A 5-minute, you know, like those,
that would have been nice.
Like those film programs that they used to have on Channel 4, where before somebody would come up and say, and this happened and that happened, now the cult film, they could have done
that. And now this is why we're doing it, because it's 60 years and it was so iconic. and it affects so many people's lives, and this is this. But it, no, it didn't. So there was the two classic episodes. The
crap was the Sidewinder on it.
No, it was the first episode where they land the plane on the cars.
A brilliant
classic.
One.
What's that
classic fire
trapped in the sky?
Yeah, and what's the plane called? The Fire Flash, isn't it?
The Fire Flash,
yeah.
Absolutely classic. And the second one, which wasn't one of my favourite, was the one where they moved the Empire State Building.
Yeah, that was. Ah. I mean, in a programme that has various plots that are far-fetched, lifting the Empire State Building up and
was out there.
It falls over, doesn't it?
It falls flat on their faces and they manage to survive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I reckon they should have done? I think they should have digitally removed the strings to the puppets. And
they've
then
tried
Stu,
to a little bit.
Then Stu could have imagined that they were real people.
Yeah. Excuse me, did you say not that they weren't real people? What are you talking about?
I think... Considering it's 60-year-old technology, I think they did really well with how well they did hide the strings.
It was amazing. And it was the only thing because, you know, the lovely Lucinda Simmons took me, which is nice. And all the pick and mix cost more than the tickets.
Did it?
So,
how much per kilo? He never looks at the bloody price. That's the trouble.
It's just pick and mix, though. You just a little handful. £9.50.
Yeah.
And the rest. And the rest.
Really expensive. So the most expensive pick and mix I've ever seen was in Bratislava, in Slovakia, which you would think it would be one of the cheaper countries I went to. And we went into this. It was a bit of a touristy sweet shop right near the Opera House. And it was €41.50 per 100 grams.
Now, I think we've sunk to some pretty low points during the last two or three years on Homer Potts Happy Hour. I think we've really gone to some places where everyone's thinking, how the fuck have they ended up there? That, however, is a total and utter new low point where we're now talking about a pick and mix in Bratislava. And on that note, I think we finished the second
segment.
We'll go for a break and we'll come back.
We've got a quiz, haven't we?
We have got a quiz.
We've got a quiz.
So we'll see you in a second. We're back for the final segment of Homer Potts Happy Hour with some great news for the country. Two bits of great news for the country we have, which should please everybody. Firstly, huge congratulations to Luke Littler for passing his driving test.
Oh, he's passed his driving test.
Congratulations, Luke. Fantastic news. Finally passed your driving test. So that's made us so happy here. And an especially big congratulations to Sir David Beckham.
Oh, he's got his knighted.
He's just been knighted.
Has that just happened?
Just a minute ago. We are that current today.
He's been angling for that for years.
God,
he's been sucking up to Charles for that long. Honestly, it was sickening.
I know.
Excuse me. You can't say that about Bex.
We have been through this with Ilona because she likes David Beckham.
Quite a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Quite a lot.
She double likes him. I think she thinks he deserves a knighthood. I don't know whether he does or not.
But anyway,
he's got it.
Do you think he'll ever be Sir Luke Littler?
No,
because
we haven't got a Sir Phil the Power, have we? And he won the World Championship 14 times.
Yeah, but Luke's a different kettle of fish. Anyway, on another subject, highlights that we do, it's time for Paramedic Corner.
Well, thank you. I wanted to talk this time round about what an absolutely strange job being a paramedic is. But when you're in it and doing it, it kind of feels entirely normal. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about the sort of emotions that it sucks out of you at times when you're doing the job. I mean, probably in the 15 years of being a paramedic, I probably sobbed my tits off about 15 times. So
yeah,
let's say
I remember you saying
once a year.
On more than one occasion.
Yeah, but it's not always for the reasons that you might expect to be the case. So, and I'm going to give you a few examples of when I sobbed my tits off. I mean, this is not poor me by any means, but I think it's just an interesting insight into the job. I was hanging out at my folks and having lunch. The joy of the job is that you've got a radio attached to your side, so you don't always have to be sat in the car. So I was sat at my folks having lunch with them, which was lovely.
Right.
Radio buzzes and off I go to a job, and it's only about two streets away.
Can I just
yes?
What's generally the longest you've ever been sat there waiting for a job?
I mean, this would be an absolute one-off, but sometimes I have been sat around for an hour or two.
Oh, right.
But that's almost, I mean, I've only...
Almost unheard
almost
of.
Almost unheard yeah. of. The normal course of events is as soon as you make yourself available, you will instantly get another yeah. job, or yeah. it'll come down in the next 1 or 2 minutes right. at the max. Okay. So you're constantly utilised. So the job I'm going to is actually a person who's dead in their flat. And all I've got to do is sort of process that dead person, as it were, which I do, and I go back to my folks, and they said, oh, what was the job? And I found myself saying, oh, just a dead person.
Oh!
And they were quite shocked. And for me, that's a very normal thing to do. I mean, probably in my sort of 14, 15 years of doing the job, I've seen hundreds of dead people in that situation. But that doesn't take any emotion out of you. You've never known this person. They were dead when you got to them. I mean, if you got upset over that sort of thing, you yeah. would be upset.
And was
upset.
That one of those things that they call an expected death? So this was somebody who might have been,
I should think this
home,
one was. He was elderly.
Ready.
Yeah, yeah. Expected death. Nothing yeah. suspicious okay. About it sort of thing, you know. But, you know, that's an example of a job which just didn't touch me. This is water off a duck's back when you're sort of working as a paramedic. Sort of dead people is kind of what you see.
Can I ask something else again? So when you went in and did that,
yeah,
you can't pronounce them dead, can you? Or can
I
you?
Can recognize life extinct,
yeah.
but you need a doctor to produce the death certificate.
And is it the doctor who then gets in touch with the undertaker?
Yes.
Oh, well, to come and get the body.
Is it that I don't know if no, it would normally be the family would do
Are
that.
Are you able to not say, sit there and say, I'm kind of telling you, I'm kind of dead?
Anyway, sorry, carry on.
It's okay. But I'll tell you a couple of examples of jobs which did drive me to tears, and it's nothing to do with people dying at all. I would just finish the 12-hour night shift on the car, and I was about 2 minutes to clocking off, and this is the case all the time. You can still get a job a minute before the end of your shift, and this is indeed what happened this time. So I'd worked for 12 hours already, and I'm given a job, and I'm sat at Fulham Ambulance Station. I'm given a job in Soho.
Oh.
Right. So obviously I'm blue lights to there, and the job is a gay chem sex party gone wrong.
Oh.
Chem party meaning...
Were you there?
I wasn't, no. I was wondering if he was going to say because I didn't get an invite.
Chem meaning chemical sex, yeah. and predominantly gay men will use drugs to enhance the sexual experience,
and,
okay?
Right, yeah.
And the drug commonly used is called GHP. GHB, often abbreviated to just G, and also known as liquid ecstasy. Now, they take this on a little pipette, which drops literally one or two drops onto a teaspoon. You can overdose on it incredibly easily, right? So,
who are you going to say onto your cock?
Maybe my thing.
Can you imagine? Oh dear. I've just overdosed on my cock.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Yeah. Anyway, so more than, you know, 3 or 4 drops will overdose you.
Right.
And that is what has happened yeah. to these two buds. A couple had met another couple on Grindr that evening, and they were invited back to the flat. So each couple didn't know each other from Adam, but the visiting couple had both overdosed on liquid ecstasy.
Who was Adam? Was he the host?
So I get there, right, and it's taken me about 20 minutes on blue lights to get to this basement flat in Soho, and I walk into this room, and it's two males stark bollock naked, absolutely flat out and completely unconscious. And so I'm having to sort of go about all the things that you do for an unconscious person, cannulating them, ECGing them, putting them on oxygen sort of thing, okay? Now, I was failed by the service, actually, on this particular job because they didn't give me backup for probably about an hour and a half. And I was asking and asking for an ambulance. I mean, it was about an hour and a half later when the cavalry arrived because it was a difficult extrication as well. These two unconscious people in a basement flat needed a lot of muscle to get them out of that sort of situation.
And they're totally starkers?
They're absolutely bollock naked.
And were they standing to attention?
I love it. So just to finish this story, finally the cavalry arrives, and about 2 hours after that, I finish my work. So it's now 8 o'clock and I've now been working for 14 hours. So I'm now off shift and I now have to drive from Soho back to Fulham. And of course, I can't do that on blue lights. I'm now in rush hour London traffic and it took me over an hour to get back. So now I've been working for 15 hours. And I'm not kidding you. I was driving back to ambulance station in the car with tears streaming down my face. And it's not because the job bothered me, although I had been failed by the service. It was just that I was so dog tired that I just, you know, I just had every ounce of everything taken out of me. So that was kind of an example of when I lost it. And I'll give you one last one. I did a very beautiful resuscitation on a 40-year-old woman who had a cardiac arrest in her sleep. I got there on the car and the husband was delivering absolutely excellent CPR and such that I just asked him to carry on doing what he was doing, slapped the pads on, shocked her, got her back even before the crew arrived. So it was just a lovely success story, that one. About a week or two later, I received a letter from this guy and it was so fulsome in its praise of me that I felt completely humbled by the things that he was saying in the letter, because I knew that I didn't particularly deserve the words he was saying.
But he obviously didn't really know you that well.
That's right, he didn't. But, you know, it was all because of your professionalism, da-da-da. But the fact is that you're in a privileged position as a paramedic working for a world-class ambulance service like that, is that you are given all the equipment, all the technology to be in the right place at the right time. There was nothing particularly skillful about what I did. Anyone with training could have done the same thing. But that letter made me sob.
Have you still got it?
Well, now I think it was in electronic form, right. So I probably came down on my iPad. But it's funny what tips you over the edge into.
It only came out later that he complained and said that apparently that's not how you give chest resuscitations to a 40-year-old woman. That's that's actually not. I've just seen casualty, and that was not how you did it, sir.
But you never know what job's going to hit you, and a job might drive one member of staff to tears, and it won't touch another. It depends on your own personal experience and what you know things that you might have had experience of in the past, sort of thing. Yeah. But a lot of the time, the tears is nothing to do with dead people and whatnot, because if you got upset about that, you would be upset all the bloody time, you know. But you've got to let the tears out as well, because if you're holding them in, that's when you become unwell. You know, far better to have a little sob to yourself and let it go.
Oh,
paramedic
well,
corner.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Right. Bless your heart.
We're going to go straight into a quiz.
Oh, we love quizzes.
Yeah, so this quiz, well, you see, you know, we're trying to come up with different types of quizzes all the time. What you need to do, listeners, at the moment is just pause this for a minute and go and get your pen and paper.
Okay.
So, not us, because we're doing it in real time. So, I noticed the other day I was reading something online and it just happened to mention a very famous person who's on this list, who's a twin. So there's lots of famous twins and identical twins.
Twins, so, lovely.
This is like you remember that the very first quiz we did that before you were even a twinkle in our eye was how old are you?
Oh yeah.
This is another quiz called how old are they?
Okay.
So I'm going to go through a load of twins.
Yeah.
You're going to try and work out how old they are. Now I should say at this point some of these twins are dead.
Ah.
I want to know how old they'd be if they were still with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't got anything on like Edward the Confessor or something.
No,
but,
okay.
But, you know, but the ones who are dead are very, very famous. So
right, yeah, good.
So are you ready? Eyes down.
Are we writing it down or are we shouting it out?
No. You just write the number down.
Okay.
So the first ones, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
I'm in trouble with this because I haven't got any clue who they are.
I think Stuart might have won this one.
They're Prince Andrew's favourite videos. Sorry.
Mary Kat and Ashley Olsen. They are.
How old are they now?
Actresses. How old are they? Yeah.
And do we get points either side? Because we're never going
to. Yeah. Well, it's just who gets the closest. Whoever gets the closest gets the point.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Done.
Yeah.
Ross and Norris McWhirter.
And so how old, if they were still alive, how old would
how
they
old
be?
How old would they be? Ross and Norris McWhirter.
Yep.
Ronnie and Reggie Cray.
Blimey, okay.
They're very dead as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Speaking of very dead, Robin and Maurice Gibb.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Matt and Luke Goss.
Right, they are...
When will Ross. I... Will I be famous?
Famous.
Well, put it down.
I'm not overthinking it, Stu. No, right? He's shouting it out. I'm just slapping a number
okay.
down.
Okay, next ones. Jedward. Owners. John and Edward Grimes.
Do we get a point for saying who fucking cares?
Yeah. Well, speaking of that phrase you've just come out with,
yeah.
Monica and Gabriella Irinia, otherwise known as the Cheeky Girls.
Oh, brilliant. We are the Cheeky Girls. Okay, so that's how old they are.
Okay, next one. Alanis and her brother Wade Morissette.
Mm.
You might know how old she is. I don't know about him, but
same age twins.
Probably. I know. Yeah, that was the whole point of me saying it.
I gotcha.
Whatever answer.
Okay.
Would it be ironic?
You ready for the next one?
Good one there. See,
just thought you just dropped that one.
Just dropped that one in.
Okay,
there.
The next one: Charlie and Craig Reed.
Oh,
do you know who they are?
Yes.
No,
the Proclaimers.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
love the Proclaimers. Now they will be. They will be that age.
Big Scottish independents.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Very large.
I won a karaoke competition doing one of their songs. Yeah, 500 Miles. I was brilliant.
Would that be...
Apparently so.
Would that be in the top 10 sing-alongs of all time?
It would.
Oh, it's yeah, up, it's right would, up there.
I couldn't lose that up karaoke competition, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, the next ones. TV Doctors, Zand and Chris Van Tulliken.
Okay, yeah, I know them. And, yeah, they are... Don't know them. Oh, they're great.
How old are they then?
They're TV Doctors.
Podcasters, they're fairly ubiquitous. They're on everything, aren't they?
Mm.
Okay. Tennis players, Bob and Mike Bryan, the Bryan brothers. Strangely, Martin, they used to play doubles. I think they won about 15 grand slams at doubles.
Really?
Yeah. Right, I'm not going to do the next one because if Martin didn't know the Bryan brothers, he probably won't know Ben and Tom Curry, will he? No. They currently play for the England Rugby Union side.
So we're cancelling that.
We're cancelling that.
Lovely, cross
okay.
that out.
Mark and Steve Waugh.
The
Waugh brothers.
The Waugh brothers.
Cricketers.
Nah.
They are...
I'm just going to put a random...
Mark Waugh, known as...
It's only when you do things like this, you realise just how little you like sport.
Yeah, that's right.
That's honestly, question number 13. So I already something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
this I'm going for...
okay. Next one, Carol and Mark Thatcher.
Oh, right. That's all right.
Right, the next one, I couldn't be bothered to look up his brother's name. I was meant to Google it because only really he's the famous one, but it's Henry Cooper and his twin brother.
Mm, if they were still alive.
If they were still alive.
Wow. Okay.
What was his... What was the famous aftershave he used to?
Brute.
Oh, you brute.
Lash it all over.
Lash it all over. Okay. The next famous person, no idea what the twin's name is, but it's Jerry Hall, the former Mrs. Jagger and Mrs. Murdoch.
Mrs. Ferry.
Is she still alive?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was surprised at her age, actually, if I'm honest. As that's a clue, I thought she'd be a lot older. Right, the next one was the famous person that I didn't realise was a twin, the horrifically looking Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah. Is she a twin?
Yeah.
No way.
I think it might be a brother, sadly, Stuart, so...
I don't suppose I've got much chance with Scarlett or a sister. Obviously, Mrs. Simmons would, you know, put the scuffle on that one.
Okay, three more to go. Mm. All famous people. First one is Ollie Mers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's a twin.
He would be...
He's a bit older than we think.
He.
And these are progressively getting slightly more famous.
Okay.
And they're all musicians. The next one, former Take That member, Jason Orange.
Brother Chocolate.
That was a good one, Stu.
Well, I'm cooking
you were
Bagasta.
Actually quite funny.
I'm cooking Bagasta.
Yeah, you were actually quite
and
funny.
Finally, and I had no idea this person was a twin, but it's quite sad because his twin died at birth. Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley.
So how old would he be? Right, okay.
He's still alive now.
Still alive. Right.
I can't believe you haven't got Martin Kemp.
But they're not twins.
That's probably why. Are you sure they're not twins?
No, they're brothers. There's about two or three years between them. Yeah.
Right.
I was going to say. Once...
Martin and Gary, no, they're brothers.
Well, because definitely one of them's distinctly miles better looking than the
other
one.
Yeah. I don't think it's done the other one any harm, particularly.
He's probably, yeah.
He's the talented one with all the money, of course. Right,
Elvis is going to be...
Come on, Stu, don't overthink it. Just stick a number down.
You have to think it reasonably because you want to get it right.
I'm actually hoping to beat Stuart in this quiz.
Right, I'll say the name.
Yeah.
One of you shout out your answer. We can both shout the answer out and I'll tell you the correct answer. Very good. Start with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Right, I never heard of them. 80.
Is that wrong?
Excellent.
36.
39.
Okay, I'll win that one.
So 80, I wasn't very
point
close.
To me.
I think
point for Stuart.
I think Stuart shaded that one.
Ross and Norris McWhirter.
110.
I've gone 106.
100.
Stuart again.
Beating me
I can't
sadly.
Believe it.
Put that in your pipe.
Ronnie and Reggie Cray.
135.
95.
135? 92. Oh,
My father would be pleased because I've basically gone down the intellectual guessing quite well here.
85, excellent. Robin and Morris Gibb.
85.
I've gone 82.
76.
Oh, I'm winning.
Sad, they died really young, didn't they? Especially Morris.
It's 4-0 to Stuart.
4-0 to me.
Matt and Luke Goss.
50.
I've gone 61.
57. He's still close.
So can I correct my previous aspiration? I'm hoping to get one off Stu.
Right.
We shall see.
John and Edward Grimes, known as Jedward.
35.
39.
34.
Oh, get in!
Point for Martin. Yeah. Okay, Monica and Gabriella, the cheeky girls.
45.
53.
43.
Oh, get in!
The comeback's
on. It's the great comeback.
Alanis and Wade Morissette.
57.
64.
51.
It's
all happening.
I'm on a roll.
51 she is, yeah.
I'm on a roll.
Charlie and Craig Reed, the Proclaimers.
62.
I've gone 65.
63.
I'm almost nailed that.
Get in. This is
great. This is sounding like my house.
And Stuart's never heard of these, has he, either. Zand and Chris Van Tulliken.
43.
I put 46.
47. You got the point, Ghost Joe.
Oh, I can't believe it. And he didn't even know they were.
I know. This is like my house. Hell. This is like the house I live in. Six up, four down.
I think we might be five all.
Bob and Mike Bryan. Bryan brothers.
I don't know
I've
these
gone
people.
75.
30.
47. So you're
did I win that?
Yeah.
Comfortably. I didn't know they were either. We didn't do number 12. 12 was...
The War brothers. Mark and Steve War.
50.
Oh, I'm going to win this one. 62.
60.
Yeah.
Oh. The delightful Margaret Thatcher's children, Carol and Mark.
65.
Oh, 74.
72.
Ooh.
Oh, Mark. Martin, it's all going horribly wrong.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
bit
yeah,
of
yeah.
a comeback, but it is.
Henry Cooper and his brother.
120. What's wrong with that? That was a genuine effort.
Fucking chops.
So far out. I cannot believe it.
I've gone for 92.
91.
Yeah.
120. Bloody hell. Jerry Hall.
88.
What?
I've gone for 80.
69.
Really?
Yeah.
Jerry 69?
Yeah. Well, Mick Jagger's about 80 and she was a lot younger than him.
Oh, was she? Yeah. I see. I thought she was similar age to him.
No.
Okay.
Scarlett Johansson.
50.
41.
40. Really?
Martin, it's falling apart.
Oh, it's all gone wrong.
Oliver Mers.
33.
37.
41. She takes that? Is he 41?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jason Orange. 55. I think Lona will be fuming at this because she'd probably quite like a quiz with celebrities.
She'd have probably done quite well at this.
Yeah. And finally...
Shame she's not here.
Elvis Presley.
125.
Less than 50 years ago.
Did he? I've gone 92.
90.
Oh, fucking
25. I don't know.
Yep. Malcolm Simmons will be very pleased with my intellectual guessing.
What was the score then, Stuart?
I got 14 right.
I forgot to mark mine, but I'm guessing that I probably got 19, about 6. 11,
12, 14, 6 out of 20.
15. Yeah. 18,
19 out of 19.
14 I got.
That's very good, Stuart.
Basically, another comfortable
you were
win
right
for me.
When you said, I think it's 6-5, you were right, and then you didn't win a single one after that.
No, that's right.
I think it was 14-5.
Yeah.
So there you are. So that's this week's quiz.
Good quiz.
Very good quiz.
That one.
Lovely. Yeah, we'll do more of them.
Yeah, I think, celebrity stuff is... Otherwise, it was going to be the populations of the cities I visited on my...
Oh, God, let that not happen.
That'll be one worth coming home for.
Yeah. So you were lucky you got away without that. So there we are. Crikey, I mean, where's the time gone? So we're going to have to go now. Sure, I think we've covered everything there. And Martin, it's been a pleasure.
It's been an honour. It's been emotional.
Pleasure as usual. Yeah. Well done, everybody.
And, Alex, get this out sharpish, mate, because we're a bit behind.
Yeah.
And then we'll see you all in a couple of weeks.
Happy days.
Ta-ta.
Homer Potts Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.